So if you're new here, you're not a regular, again, I always say this is not my full-time gig. I am strictly a fill-in. I am blessed and privileged to be able to come up here every once in a while and speak. I liken it to me talking to my brothers and sisters in Christ, except I'm that brother that never shuts up long enough for you to say anything. So you basically are stuck listening to me for 20 minutes talk, is what it comes down to. I usually, typically sometime during the week, usually Monday or Sunday morning, like this morning when I'm laying in bed, I run through the message, what I want to talk about. And ultimately, it always sounds a lot better in my head and a lot more eloquent than when I get up here. But hopefully I, again, share some thoughts. And really, that's what it comes down to for me. Maybe provoking some thoughts, some things to think about during the course of the week. To help you in your walk with Christ. And the Lord does know that it is not easy out there, and our everyday life and walk through this world is very difficult sometimes. So we'll take what we can get to help us to get through the week. So if you're a football fan, I know we had a handful, and I always have to do a sports reference. You probably know what these pitchers reference. So there was let me backtrack a second. My message today is what if. So there are a lot of different types of what ifs. But in this case, what if that referee had made that call? So if you're not familiar with it, in an NFC Championship game, the Saints and the Rams, there was a very... Well, it depends if you're a Rams fan or a Saints fan, but most people agree that there was a very flagrant missed pass interference call, which ultimately resulted in, had it been called, more than likely, almost certainly, the Saints would have won the football game. And ultimately what happened is the Rams ended up winning the football game. So what if? We have a close friend of ours that usually comes to our house for Super Bowl Sunday. She happens to be a long-time New Orleans Saints fan. As you can imagine, during the course of the Super Bowl, there were a lot of what-ifs. Well, if that was Drew Brees playing today, there's a good chance that the Saints might win. Oh, Roger, it was pain. I felt for her. It was painful. The whole game, the whole Super Bowl, it's like, well, if they would have made that call, it'd be Drew Brees here today, and me, obviously, being my Miami Dolphins fan, not wanting the Patriots to win, I give them credit, but I still don't want them to win, would have loved to have seen the Saints there, because I think they would have had a better chance of beating the Patriots. But anyway, that's my sports what-if for the day. I'm going to talk today about a semi-emotional subject, one that I've been dealing with a lot in my life lately. I ran some things by my wife, Denise, possible subjects to talk about this morning for the message. And a couple of them, she was like, yeah, I don't know if you go there. You know, touchy subjects. I mentioned that this morning with a couple of the guys, ladies, that the subject I brought up this morning, Bible study, was one of those subjects that could be a little iffy. But some of the subjects I brought by Denise were borderline, but ultimately, this one has the emotional attachment. A lot of times, things I tend to talk about do, but it gets a little tricky sometimes. But I think that what I want to talk about this morning is very relevant in our lives and very important to talk about. So we're going to get to a couple points, and they're going to be the what ifs. Not what if. I don't like to go back in my life and say what if. I'm okay with looking back on certain things and using them as a stepping stone and a learning point, so to speak, and hopefully a takeaway, something that helps me to better myself. But I try not to do the what ifs. But this is more about what if I don't do something else and in a certain way and interact with a person in my life in a certain way. What if I don't? What are the repercussions? How will that potentially play out? How will that affect them in their lives? So this is a big what if I don't do what I should do. You know, Dave last week talked about stepping off that boat and how hard it is to take that first step. How strong is your faith in God, and will it allow you to step onto the water and truly put your faith in God that he's going to be there with you and take you by the hand? This is one of those subjects, in my opinion, that I struggle with, and I bring this up because I hope that it'll help me to do better, to help me step out of the boat, to take that hard step. I want to talk about the what if I don't share my thoughts on what happens when we die. What happens if you haven't received Christ in your life? What if I don't talk to those people around me about where they're at in their lives with Christ? I got a handful of things going on in my life right now that tend to that conversation, that it's an important conversation I should probably have with some people in my life that for some reasons I find awkward. For some reasons it's just about taking a step off the boat and I just can't do it in some cases. Some cases it's family. Some cases it's friends. Just acquaintances. You know, a friend of mine, co-worker, gave me a book called God's Biker. As you would imagine, it's about the gentleman that has taken to spreading the word of Christ in the fringe world, places that you wouldn't normally expect it. But early on in his life, he felt it was important to share that conversation, to have that conversation with people. What if? What if tomorrow comes and it's your time? I find it awkward because some of the people in my life, I probably should have already had that conversation with a long time ago. They're at a place in their lives now where, A, they're either dealing with, at least one case I know is just a matter of when I get the phone call, letting me know that they've passed on. One case, there's still hope. I know he puts a lot of faith in God, but I don't know exactly where he's at. He's of a different faith than I am, so I don't know for sure if he's ready. In some cases with close family members, it's an age thing. They're getting close to that point in life. Even though we don't know, I could be tomorrow for me, and my wife always gives me a hard time when I talk about this subject, but in terms of where I'm at with my life with Christ and am I ready, it's a conversation that needs to be had. You know, we often kid about me and some of my friends when we talk. One of the ones that I was referring to that is currently not sure if he's going to be here much longer with us. You know, we kid about our playlist for our funerals. Do we have our playlist prepared, the songs that I want played at my services? My wife hates that subject when we start to talk about that. But it is. It's an awkward conversation to have when you talk about it in terms of reality, in terms of, you know, are you ready? Five people lost their lives this week. I did do a quick look. I just to look at who they were, quick synopsis of their lives, which I'm sure don't do justice, but at least to be aware of who they were in their where they were in their lives and who they were, and no idea where they were at in their Christian life, but you know, one young man was 21 years old. You know, it's like that conversation about preparing a will. You know, how many people in their 30s have that conversation? How many people in their 20s and 30s worry about a will? It's the same thing when it applies to how many people talk about where am I at in my life with Christ and if I'm ready. You know, I didn't have that conversation. I didn't worry about it. I didn't think about it. But in some respects, being young and dumb and careless, I could have just as easily gone quicker back then. You know? So, that being said, we're going to look at a little bit of scripture. I kind of broke it down and, you know, maybe we figure out that we should have that conversation with some people around us in our daily lives. Maybe you know someone. So point number one is, why should I have that conversation about being prepared, about being saved? Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This was the main scripture this morning. And the reason I chose that is it talks about that narrow window. And it talks about not everybody finds that gate. Not everybody gets to that point. So why do we want to have that conversation? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. So, there you go. It sums it up real quick. Preach the gospel. Whoever believes and baptized will be saved. So we want to share that word so that they can believe and they can be baptized and be saved. And I struggle sometimes when I look at the last part of this scripture, because when you have that conversation with people around you, I think it's very important, and I'll get into it a little bit more, but how you have that conversation. You see that person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So, faith in itself is not enough. So you may have someone you know has faith, but be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of those people around you and the approach and the path they're taking in life. And be aware that sometimes it's just not a matter of, well, I believe in God. But how do they apply that? Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. I think that really lends to why we as Christians need to have that conversation. It talks about sharing that bread of life, sharing that, you know, the being that person that looks after someone that we know has not received Christ in their life yet. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? So they talk a lot about not doing what we need to do in life. This is one of the scriptures I saw that says where they're basically being called out for not doing, you know, or questioning, basically saying, you know, well, we thought we were doing what we were supposed to do. But if you do not do that, again, it talks about eternal punishment versus the righteous finding eternal life. At the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. This tends to speak to that part about where do I find strength? Where do I find the importance and the reasoning to speak to someone about where they're at in their Christian lives? It is an awkward conversation in a lot of cases. These are people that, quote unquote, were in positions of importance. And they, because of fear of how they would be treated, were afraid to basically say, this is what I believe. Are we afraid sometimes, you know, do we have that fear that if I share that with someone, if I have that conversation, I would be put out? as in this scripture. Again, how do I find that strength to have that conversation? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One example. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. This talks again about where do you go in Scripture to find that strength. As Dave said last week, to step off the boat. I struggle with this. It can become a very tense time in your life when you have people in your life that you feel like you need to have that conversation with, but you don't have that conversation. Isn't it our duty to some extent, or to a large extent, to have that conversation with them? And if we don't, are we not doing what God has called us to do? But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So, as I just said, sometimes it's difficult to have that conversation. It's awkward. Will I say the right thing? Will I say the wrong thing? But this scripture really spoke to me in the fact that these were people that were afraid to speak out. But they were told, don't worry about it. I got you. I got you covered. I'll help you. I'll tell you what to say. It's not going to be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father. And I found that one especially helpful as I deal with and struggle with some of the conversations I need to have with people around me. And even going forward, outside of the people that I'm talking about currently in my life, a week from now, a month from now, when we speak to people about where we're at in our lives and what we believe in, keep this scripture in mind, Matthew 10:19-20. He's going to help you find the words when you have to have those important conversations. I truly do believe that. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. So this speaks to why we need to have that conversation. It talks about believing in him, receiving Christ in your life. It talks about baptism. It talks about all those things that when you have that conversation need to be brought up. This isn't the kind of stuff you're going to talk about when people say, well, why is it so important? What does it matter? I'm a good person. You know? These are the kind of scripture and the kind of conversations that lend to the fact that it's a little bit more important than that. There's a little bit more involved. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This specifically talks about baptism as being a piece of that puzzle, of being a part of being ready when that time comes. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So again, this speaks to what do I have to do to get where I need to be that I feel good about, I'm ready. So it's talking about acknowledging God. That is one way that you will be accepted and acknowledged by the Father. It also speaks to the negative about disowning others, being afraid to talk about God, being able to basically saying, hey, I don't want to go there. You know, I'm afraid of the repercussions. You know, to sum it up, it's a very important conversation, obviously. It's a very tough conversation. And I think when I looked at a couple of these scriptures, me personally, I worry about the negative connotations. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong in that respect, but when you talk about, and I'm basically talking about what a lot of us refer to as the fire and brimstone conversation, I think it's, even though we don't want to tiptoe around the subject of this is what it's all about, we also want to be careful and mindful of the fact that this is, if we are as a Christian going to take that step and have that conversation, we need to put a lot of thought and a lot of care into how we have that conversation. I worry a lot of times about if I start having a conversation like this with someone, about scaring them away, about coming on, as we say, too strong. You know, the fire and brimstone. Well, if you don't repent, if you don't receive God, if you, you know, don't bear witness to Christ, you're going to hell. It's just, yeah, you don't want to do that. So be careful when you have those conversations. Be prepared. Pray first. Go to God first. Put some thought into it. I'm currently dealing with one of the people I talked about in my life. The one that I had known him for a number of years. But then he, ironically, his wife had passed away from cancer, and he started to take a different approach to life and look at things a little differently than he had in the past. And then probably about, I want to say a year or so ago, he was diagnosed with cancer as well. And for whatever reason, we had had some brief conversations about our faith and God and where, you know, where we were at in life and where we thought we were at in life and where we hoped we were at in life. But I tended to look at him a little differently when I had those conversations, knowing what he was dealing with, what he potentially was going to be approaching in his life. And I ultimately got the feeling that there was a part of him that was holding out hope that it was all going to work out. That he also realized that if it didn't, and I think, you know, I think he was hanging on to a lot of faith, but I also think there was a part of him that wanted to present that, put up that good face, you know, be ever mindful of how he affected other people's lives. I always felt uplifted after I got done talking with him. I truly felt that he was at peace and he was ready. I still personally hold out hope that maybe things won't happen, but I ultimately know that they more than likely will, probably soon. I worry sometimes that there's that aspect of me that wants to have a conversation with people about this subject because of selfishness. Because I know that him facing his imminent death, I feel a lot better. And I'm a lot more on board knowing where he's at in his life. And it makes me feel better. And it makes it easier for me to deal with it. And that's a good thing for me. Not only that, but again, you know, obviously happy for him that he is where he needs to be. And I truly believe that based on all the conversations we had over the past year. I truly believe that based on some of the scripture we just talked about, that if we have those conversations and we prepare ourselves for those conversations and we take that step out of the boat and have those conversations with some people, I think that's what we need to do in our lives. I hope that this past week, looking at some things in my life, is going to help me going forward because I still need to have some of those conversations. I'm still struggling with those conversations with certain people in my life. One of the things that he talks about is the fact that we need to receive him in our lives and we need to be baptized in his name. Hopefully I said something this morning that will lend itself to you sharing some of these thoughts with somebody in your life that you think might need to have this conversation because they're not where they want to be or need to be. It's a tough conversation, it truly is. Thank you for this time this morning. As we stand and sing, please keep in mind there is a baptismal right behind me if anybody feels that need in their life. or if they need prayers from the church or have any needs, please come forward at this time.